Morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Good. If I haven't met you before, my name's Nick. I've been coming to this church for just over a year now. Came last summer with my wife, Lily, who can't be here this morning because she's working. She's a house mistress up at Tudor Hall School on the way to Bloxham. But you'll see her around every now and then when they let her free. Before we came here, we'd been in Oxford for 7 years, which is where we met, and we got married just over 3 years ago. I remembered the anniversary, so it was a good effort, I thought. We're continuing our series, as Caroline was saying, on seeking God, and I'm really excited about this season that we get to share together as a church, of looking towards Jesus. Of hungering after him, of thirsting after him. And Stefan spoke last week about seeking God's priorities. Next week he'll be speaking about seeking God's practices. But today we're speaking about seeking his presence. I was chatting to Luke, who was leading worship earlier in the week, about one of his hobbies. And he does something called living history, which is where he kind of dresses up. It's probably one of the coolest hobbies that you could do, actually. It's not geeky in any way. Don't worry, I love history as well, man, so I think it's cool. He dresses up. He doesn't, I don't know, you don't do reenactments, do you? Well, kind of, you do, but not battles. You don't like, he does battles as well, right? He does all that. But he's interested in World War II particularly, so he'll put on the uniform, use the equipment that the soldiers used to use, restore old vehicles, that kind of thing. But he's recently purchased a new uniform. It was actually a very old uniform. It's from the Second World War. And he was showing me earlier in the week the papers that came along with the uniform that the soldier had during the war. And I got really excited by all the military stuff, kind of talking about the things he was involved with, the places he traveled all around the world. A different piece of paper caught Lily's eye, and it was the love letter that he sent to his wife. For some reason, she absolutely loves love letters. And before we were married, I sent her a few. But once I'd kind of sealed the deal, we'd got married. They dried up a little bit, and she's always asking me to be more romantic, but that's life, isn't it? That's what I say to her. But I haven't got Luke's letter with me today, but I went online and I found some other letters. I found some letters between a soldier in World War II called Frank and his wife Polly, and I'd just like to read you a little snippet from those. This was written by Frank on the 6th of May, 1944. Dearest darling, all day I've been fighting the feeling which has been dominating me of late. I keep continually thinking of home and longing for home in the worst way. All your letters of how beautiful my daughter is becoming by the day. The realization that I'm missing all these months and years of her formative growth is actually gnawing at my heart. And then a few days later, we see the reply from Polly. Dad sent a fellow around to fix up our yard, and he really did a super job. It looks nice. There is so much shrubbery here and so many plants all around that I can never find enough time to keep it looking as good as it should. Now it looks wonderful. All the spring flowers are beginning to bloom, and the sight of them just increases my longing for you. Constantly, darling, all of me longs for you. It can't be much longer now, sweetheart. And these letters of longing remind me of a book in the Bible, actually, the Song of Songs, a book that was written to represent the deep, intimate love and relationship that God shares with his people. In Song of Songs, chapter 5, it says this: I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but I did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. Daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, what will you tell him? Tell him I'm faint with love. I wonder if you guys have experienced at any point that longing for someone, that searching, that hungering for someone, to the point where they overcome and consume you in your thoughts, in your mind, your yearning for them. The Bible tells us that that is how God feels about us. His heart is searching for us. He is longing for us. And what is it that Frank and Polly and the bride and her beloved in the Song of Songs have in common? They're wanting to see each other, to spend time with each other, to interact with each other, to know each other deeply and intimately. Above all else, they long to be in each other's presence. And that's what we're talking about this morning, being in God's presence, knowing that intimacy that lovers know, that friends know, that mothers and daughters and fathers and sons know. When we truly connect with someone, and we can truly connect with God, it's about being in the presence of the King, knowing the Holy Spirit who is here with us. It's about giving and receiving love and communicating with God, partaking in the sacraments, touching heaven in prayer, knowing that we are loved by our Father, and enjoying the friendship of Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, are you seeking after God's presence? Do you even know what I'm talking about when I talk about God's presence in that way? Is that something you've experienced before? Is that something that you want? Do you know what the Bible is saying when it says, come to me, when Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you life and life in its fullness? When the Apostle Paul talks about the more that we can have in Christ, we can know more of his love, more of his compassion, more of his kindness, more of relationship with him. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, be good to turn to Isaiah 55. I'm going to read it out, and we're looking at verse 1 to 2. The prophet Isaiah was someone who sought after God. He hungered and thirsted after God. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. And then a few verses later in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Stefan spoke last week about our tendency as humans to prioritize the things of this world and to put the things of God second place. I don't know about you, but often I seek material things a lot more than I seek God. You know, I'm working really hard at the minute to try and save up a house deposit with my wife. And, you know, it's one of the reasons she's working today, so that we can try and get that house that we've kind of been longing for after 3 years of marriage. And often I find that's where my priority is going. That's where I'm spending my time and energy and effort. And I forget about the things of God. But Isaiah is calling us, reminding us, saying, seek first God. I think Stefan used that verse last week, seek first the kingdom and all the other things will fall into place. They will come to you. Oswald Chambers said, I'm hungry with a vast desire for him. I'm hungry with a vast desire for him. Are you guys hungry with a vast desire for him? Am I hungry for a vast desire with him? Or have we forgotten our first love? I don't know if you remember the church in Ephesus that we read about in Revelation 2. Jesus Christ is saying to them, I've seen your faithfulness. I've seen all the works that you've done. I've seen that you've been trying to live for me, But I hold this against you. You've forgotten your first love. And as I was kind of thinking this week about this topic and thinking about kind of fruitfulness, I thought, I wonder how many of us can relate to this, the sense that maybe there's a decent amount of faithfulness in our lives, but not always a decent amount of fruitfulness. How often are we sort of chasing after the things of God, but not quite seeing them happen? How many times are we turning up to church week in, week out, but not always connecting with Him? I wonder, you know, maybe in the past you felt really passionate and excited about God, about the things of His kingdom, but you felt a little bit let down, like your hopes and dreams haven't come to fulfillment, or your prayers have been left unanswered. Or maybe, you know, you used to really connect with God in times of prayer, in your quiet times, in your devotional times, and you'd go for it. Or in worship on church on a Sunday, you'd be praising with all your heart, with all your soul. You'd be worshiping in spirit and in truth, but maybe it's not felt like that for a while. Maybe you've never experienced these things at all, but you want to. Is there something we're missing? Is there more that we haven't quite grasped hold of yet? The evangelist Billy Graham probably saw more of the church than anybody in his generation as he traveled around the world preaching the gospel. God blessed him with an amazing ministry. Over 1 million people made first-time commitments through his preaching. But he made a really interesting observation about the body of Christ. He said this: "Everywhere I go, I find that God's people is lacking something. They're hungry for something. The Christian experience is not all they'd expected, and they often have recurring defeat in their lives. The greatest need in the world today is that men and women who profess Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit." And I think that's so true. I think about my life, and I think often I really want to see the things of God, and I try and kind of, you know, do the right things, but sometimes there's things missing, and it's usually when I'm just doing it in my own strength and I forget to seek God first. But God says, you know, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Come and be filled with the Spirit. That's why we have the Spirit. He's a gift to us, so that we can begin to see that fruit that we are searching for, that we are hoping for. We can begin to see our friends and family repenting of their sins and turning to Christ. We can begin to see healings, emotional, spiritual, physical healings. We can begin to see people being set free from addictions and sinful attitudes and bad habits. We can begin to see people living life in its fullness, experiencing healthy and happy community, living lives that are full of joy. And it's God's Spirit, it's His presence that makes the difference. You can read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, so many stories of God intervening, impacting, and changing lives, turning people's communities upside down. Just one touch from His presence can change everything. Think of Jacob. He wrestled with the angel of God until God blessed him. God blessed him and made him a patriarch of Israel, of His people, from which the Messiah would eventually come. Think of Moses. He was outcast from his own people, and then from his adopted people of Egypt. But then God met him in a blaze of glory on a mountain and changed everything. And he became this incredible leader who led the people out of slavery and into freedom. Think of the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul and persecuted the Church of Christ. He was a murderer, but in a blaze of light, he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, And suddenly everything changed. And he became someone, instead of taking life, who gave life. He gave life spiritually, he gave life physically, he even rose someone from the dead. A.W. Tozer said this, "Come near the holy men and women of God. They wanted for him. They prayed and wrestled and sought for him all night, in season and out of season. And when they found him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking." In the 18th century, down the road in Oxford, there was a student called George Whitfield, and he was on a spiritual journey of seeking God. He was extreme in doing this. Every single day, he used to go out for hours and pray and seek God and study the Bible and read. I don't know if anyone knows Christ Church Meadow, but he'd regularly walk around there just praying that he would be filled with the Spirit of God. He got so kind of obsessed by seeking this presence of God that he actually became ill, and the doctor consigned him to bed for 7 weeks. He'd been going out early morning, not getting enough sleep, it was freezing cold. He was getting wet because he'd just stay out there, and he used to like lie prostrate on the ground in the middle of the field, just praying and seeking God. He knew there was something that he was hungering after that he hadn't experienced yet. He writes that when he was sick in bed, he was only able to read his Greek New Testament for 2 hours a day. That was all that he could manage. But then one day, after a long period of seeking God, it happened. God met him. And this is the testimony that he writes. "God was pleased to remove the heavy load to enable me to lay hold of his dear son by a living faith and by giving the spirit of adoption to seal me even to the day of everlasting redemption. Oh, what joy! Joy unspeakable, even joy that was full of and big with glory, was my soul filled when the weight of sin went off. An abiding sense of the pardoning love of God and a full assurance of faith broke in upon my disconsolate soul. Surely it was the day of mine espousals, a day to be had in everlasting remembrance. At first my joys were like a spring tide and overflowed the banks." And Whitfield went on to be an amazing preacher. And he was part of the Great Awakening in America, and he helped spark a big revival in England in the 18th century alongside the Wesley brothers. But he knew what intimacy with God was. He knew what it meant to know Christ. He said it was like the day of his espousals, which is an old-fashioned word for marriage. It was like that day he felt as though he became married to Christ. He knew Christ in that intimate way, and that's what the Bible says our relationship with God is like. Us as a church, we are his bride. He calls us to him, and he knows us in that intimate way that a married couple know each other. There was a plumber from Bradford in the kind of late 20th century, late 19th century, early 20th century, called Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you probably will have heard of him. He was a remarkable evangelist, and he had a ministry where loads of people received miraculous healing, physical healings. But before this ministry began, he was seeking after God. He was hungering after the power and presence of God. He'd read about it in the Bible, and he thought, why aren't I seeing this around me today? He heard about a meeting that was taking place at a church near him in Sunderland. Well, not too near, actually. It was quite a way. Where God's Spirit had been poured out in previous weeks at this church. And he went up one weekend to a conference that was happening there. And he sought God that whole weekend, and nothing happened. So he went on Monday morning to the vicar's house, to the vicarage, and the vicar was out, but the vicar's wife was in, and he said, "I'm not leaving, I'm not going back to work until I get what I want." And she must have wondered what on earth he was wanting. But what he wanted was the gift of tongues, and she said, well, you don't really need the gift of tongues. What you need is to be filled with the Spirit. So she let him come into the house. She prayed for him. And he had a vision of Christ. He was hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he saw Christ ahead of him. And Christ was saying to him, I've cleansed you. I have washed you. And these angels were kind of flying around him. He was all in white. It sounded pretty crazy. But God was saying to him, I've cleaned you up. I have released you from your sin. And he said it wasn't the last time, but it was the first time that he met with God in this powerful way. When I first went up to university, I was pretty passionate about the things of God. I was fired up for the Lord. I'd spent my gap year in churches doing some internships. First off, at my home church in London, and then at some churches in America. I was really excited to see what God would be doing at university and how he might be using me there. But pretty much from Freshers Week, actually, the first week I arrived, I ended up going on a trajectory that wasn't a trajectory God had chosen for me. I started straying from his path. I kind of hardened my heart, really. I stopped reading the Bible, stopped going to church regularly. I fell into areas of sin that I hadn't experienced before. And by the end of my first year, I really thought I was probably going to lose my faith. I started asking questions. I started wondering whether God was even real. I was doubting his goodness. And then it was kind of over the course of my second year, really, that God started to draw me back towards himself. And there were two kind of particular moments that God really intervened and put me back on track with him. One of them was one weekend, about halfway through my second year, and I felt like God said, you know, take a walk, go and seek me, spend some time with me. So I went out, and I was out for about 3 hours, praying and asking God what he was saying. During this time, he spoke to me with a kind of vision or a picture, and it was of a little toddler, a little kid who'd been running away from his father, been running really hard and fast, and then he suddenly realized he was a long way away and was scared, and he turned back, and his father was only a few steps behind with his arms outstretched, and he said, you've been like that child, like the prodigal son, running away, and you need to come back to me. Come back to me now. So I came back. Later that evening, God just kind of drenched me with his presence, with his Spirit, and encountered me in a way I hadn't felt before. Just waves of his love pouring over me. And I was crying and weeping. But he was just saying yes to me. He was saying, yes, you're my son. I love you. A couple of years after that, I'd finished uni, and I was wondering what was next, what the next steps were, what God wanted me to do with my life. And there was a job that I felt he'd probably called me to that I applied for, but I really didn't want to do it. And I decided it wasn't the best thing to do. So I told Lily that, and I told my family that I would be dropping out of the application process. Then I went to church that evening, and God spoke to me in the worship, and he showed me kind of two timelines. One was the timeline that I recognized of my life, like going to school, going gap year, going to uni. And the other was a timeline that was much bigger, and it had other characters on it, characters from the Bible, like Jacob, like Moses, like Paul that we talked about earlier. And he said, I'm much more interested in that second timeline. You're on that timeline, and that's the one you need to pay attention to. So I thought, fair enough. But then he hadn't quite finished with me, and during the ministry time, I felt a call to go up and his spirit just hit me again, and I was reminded of the words from Psalm 24, where it says, "Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." And God started showing me all these areas in my life where I wasn't clean, where I wasn't pure. Areas of my life that were full of sin, where I had bad attitudes, where I had idols in my life. And he said, you know, if you want to do things for me, if you want to, you know, walk in my presence and, you know, you want to see fruitfulness in your life, you've got to let me deal with this stuff. And so it was like he literally burnt that sin up out of my body there and then. It was like my hands were on fire. You know, like I could literally feel like fireballs in my hands. That's what it felt like anyway. And it was like electricity was burning through me. And yeah, I walked away from that ministry time a different person. You know, I could have struggled for days, months, years to deal with some of that sin and rubbish in my life. He did it like that. And that's all it takes. One moment, one touch from God. Do you remember the story of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years? She'd sought healing everywhere and anywhere. And she heard about this guy, Jesus, who was in the region, who'd been healing people and teaching. And she sought after him. She needed to be free from this illness that had been afflicting her. And she jostled her way through the crowd, and she reached out and she touched the edge of his robe. And in that moment, she was healed. And that's all we need to do. Jesus is here now. He's in this region. He's in this building. All we have to do is reach out and touch him. I wonder if there's something that you guys need a touch from God for this morning. Maybe you need some direction in your life, or maybe you need healing. Maybe there's a physical need that you have, an emotional need. Maybe there's an addiction in your life that you've been trying to shift. You've been trying to get rid of it for so long, and it just won't go. Your willpower's dried up and that's it. God can just do it. Maybe there's an attitude that you know needs to change. Maybe you want to love your family better. Maybe you want to love your friends better. Maybe you want to learn to put other people first. Be more like Jesus. Well, it's all it needs, one touch. Well, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not even sure I want God that much. I'm not sure I have that passion. I'm not sure I even have that desire in my heart of seeking God. There's an old medieval prayer that says, "I want you, I want to want you." And even if you only have the tiniest mustard seed of faith, God can take that and grow it and multiply it. And even if it's the only smallest part of you that says, "Yes, I want God, I want the things of God," he can take that. Faith is a free gift. So all we have to pray is, "I want to want you," and say, "God, put that desire in my heart, put that passion in my heart." So I just want to invite the band to come back up. And we just want to create a little space now to seek God. I'm aware it's kind of 12:05, so if you've got kids that you need to collect from the children's work, then please be released to go and do that. We're just going to have quite a free time, really, where we're just going to have some music playing in the background, but I just want to create a space and open up a space to seek God now, however that may look, whether you want to pray quietly to yourself with God. Maybe you want to kneel down. Maybe you want to turn to someone next to you and ask for prayer for something. There's also some room up here if you'd like to come up here and either receive prayer or just seek God by yourself. Sometimes that can be helpful as a kind of act, a declaration of seeking God. But whatever it is, just feel free, and we want to seek God together for his presence. So if you want to stand, as I say, feel free to head off and collect the kids if you need to. But yeah, let's stand up, or you can stay sitting if you like, but I'm just gonna pray. Lord, we thank you that you are here. You are here with us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Lord, we pray that you would come in power. We pray that you would come in love. Jesus, thank you for dying for us to release us into freedom so that we can experience your pleasure. We can experience your loving kindness. And God, I pray for those here this morning that just need a touch from you, that need to experience your presence, Lord. Lord, those that have felt dry spiritually, Lord, and need to know your water of life. God, I pray that they would just receive from you now. Holy Spirit, come and give your gifts to your people. Lord, I just ask that you would pour out your gifts upon your people, Lord. Lord, we wait for you. We wait on you. So Lord, as the band just plays and we have this time, we ask God that you would come and meet us. Come and say what you need to say to each of us, Lord. You've got a message for every single person in this room. And Lord, I pray that you'd unblock our ears to hear, that you'd open our eyes to see. Thank you, Lord. Amen.